Ramsey TV.
Isaiah 53:5. This is from the King James Version. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. From the Concordant Version of the Old Testament, Isaiah 53, verse 5. Yet he was wounded because of our transgressions and crushed because of our depravities. The discipline of our well-being was on him, and with his welts come healing for us. Hello again, Martin Zender here on MZTV, and I'm presenting to you a mature truth about the nature of our Lord's sacrifice for us. Everybody talks about the crucifixion, but not many people talk about the torture, the beating, the literal beating, the welts he received from the terrible whips of the Roman soldiers. Why was this necessary? How does it fit with our healing? How are we healed by another man being injured? This is a very, very deep truth. It's complex. I don't pretend to know every aspect of it, of course, but I am touching the hem of the garment here, and I'm seeing into a truth from a verse in Proverbs that I'm going to give you tomorrow, but it answers everything. It's a very little known verse. It's a obscure verse, but it's going to shed light on how his welts healed us of our sin. That's the big picture. I'll give you this clue, though. For big problems, one has to go deep, deep for the solution. The solution has to be as deep as the problem. We know that Jesus Christ was not only the sacrifice for Israel, the lamb sacrifice for the sins of Israel, but he was also offered up for the sins of the entire world and to bring peace to the universe. This was unknown to Israel. No prophet ever spoke of it. And his crucifixion was a mystery to the disciples because there was no hint of it in the types. There was no hint of it in the lambs that were sacrificed. If he was only the fulfillment of the types, then he would have been gently slain, his throat would have been slit, blood would have run out, and he would have been the human lamb, the sacrifice for Israel. But no, something far worse happened to him that never happened to the types, to the lambs, to the goats, to the bulls. And that was the crucifixion. Not only that, but the beating he took before that. And I'm going to give you now a practical illustration of how this works. We see how it works in the big picture, and it's hard to understand how by his welts comes our well-being. Our healing comes from his literal cuts of his skin that gave him a pain so deep that only that could reach our depravities. Only that could reach our sin. That's the big picture. Now I'm going to show you a small picture. But the principle, here's the shock, the principle is exactly the same. I'm going to read something to you. I don't often come on this show and read, right? You can read things for yourself. I like to talk to you, but I'm going to have to read this. It's an article from the Siberian Times from 2013. And the principle that you're going to see here is the exact same principle of how our Lord's welts, his stripes, his lashes, his bruises brought healing for us. Are you ready for this? This is going to seem strange. It was strange to me when I saw it, but it is fantastic. It is so obscure. This article is obscure. Nobody knows about this. Just as nobody knows the verse from Proverbs I'm going to bring you tomorrow. If you're disquieted or troubled by what I'm about to read to you, You have to wait till tomorrow. Yes, I'm being a little, yeah, I know, I'm kind of holding it over you like a soap opera here a little bit, but here we go. The Siberian Times, January 2013. Deep in Siberia, scientists claim they have made an astonishing breakthrough in curing drink and drug addicts, as well as helping workaholics and even those obsessed with sex by using corporal punishment. The reaction of most people is predictable, to snicker, scoff, or make jokes loaded with sexual innuendo. But 22-year-old Natasha insists that they have got completely the wrong end of the stick, or rather the cane, and she should know. Quote, "I am the proof that this controversial treatment works," she says, "and I recommend it to anyone suffering from an addiction or depression. It hurts like crazy, but it's given me back my life. Without it, I seriously believe I would now be dead." The psychologist behind, the pun is not deliberate, this cure is Dr. German Palympenko, who, with fellow practitioner Professor Marina Chakrova, has treated more than 1,000 patients and is now getting foreigners traveling to try his unconventional, quote, "method of limited exposure to pain," unquote, often as a last resort. Isn't that the truth, though? The things that work are often the last resort, because everybody goes the traditional medical route. You know, water cures almost every problem you have, water. And it's so readily available, and it's inexpensive. But people just don't drink enough water. But God provides these simple cures that are readily available and inexpensive, like I just said. And that's the wisdom of God. But people look to the wisdom of God last. Why is that? Because they're convinced that the slick methods of the medical world, the slick methods of the educational world, the slick methods of the religious world are the way to answer your problems. But when these people find out that nothing else works, they will try anything. And what do you know? The last thing they try is the thing that actually works. He has had success with showbiz clients and believes he could help people like British singer Pete Doherty, who has repeatedly failed to respond to other treatments. Whether drink or drug addicts or people who are miserable and depressed, these Russian medics say they have restored that simple ingredient missing from so many lives, happiness. The cure involves literally beating the addiction, obsession, or depression out of the patient. Dr. Filipenko claims he is restoring or modernizing a method of treatment known to previous generations. Isn't that how it is? We think that we're the smartest generation, and yet you look at the medicine of the Egyptians, or you look at the medicine of the Native Americans, and they could read plants. They knew what plants did, because all they had to do all day was watch plants grow and experiment with them. Dr. Filipenko claims he is restoring or modernizing a method of treatment known to previous generations, including notorious cane-happy English schoolmasters and monks in medieval holy orders. Quote, "We cane the patients on the buttocks with a clear and definite medical purpose. It is not some warped sadomasochistic activity," says Professor Chakrova, a psychiatrist with more than 25 years' experience treating drug addicts and alcoholics. In simple terms, addicts suffer from a lack of endorphins, often known as happiness hormones, she says, adding that the acute pain of corporal punishment stimulates the brain to release endorphins into the body, quote, making patients feel happier in their own skins, unquote. Continuing the quote, "The caning counteracts a lack of enthusiasm for life, which is often behind addictions, suicidal tendencies, and psychosomatic disorders," claims Dr. Filipenko. Both personally administered the, quote, "medical spankings," period, unquote. The treatment was pioneered in Siberia by Dr. Sergei Speransky, director of biological studies at Novosibirsk Institute of Medicine, who himself admitted to undergoing flogging treatment as an antidote to his bouts of depression. Quote, "Patients see that this treatment is working where everything else has failed," He was quoted as saying, "It worked for me. I'm not sadistic, at least not in the classical sense, but I do advocate caning." Life for Natasha, 22, from Novosibirsk, could hardly have been worse when she agreed to this method as a final hope for overcoming her chronic heroin addiction. "I was a wreck," she says. "I was heavily addicted and it was killing me. I had fallen hopelessly in love at the age of 16 and didn't realize at first that my boyfriend was a heroin addict and did everything I could to make him kick his habit. He couldn't, and I succumbed to it too. Originally, I took the drug because I thought by doing so, I would shock him into giving up. I was young and naive, and it didn't work. By the time I was hooked on it, he died of an overdose, and everything collapsed around me. I was stealing from my mother and stepfather, spending nights alone outside in the gutter. My mother sobbed and begged me on her knees to stop. I wanted to, but you can't just stop. She took me to hospital after hospital for a variety of conventional treatments, but none of them worked. I remember once lying down on a hospital bed with spittle trickling down from my mouth, and I was so weak I couldn't even lift my hand up to wipe it. In desperation, she turned to religion. I spent months at a special religious retreat, and people were praying for me all the time. It was so sweet of them, but it didn't help me. I still needed the drugs and went to any lengths to get them. One by one, many of the friends she shared with her boyfriend, all of them hard-bitten addicts, died. Quote, "There were so many deaths around me. I nearly died too. I just couldn't see a way out. It was then that my mother heard about this new method of treatment in Novosibirsk, her home city. I agreed to try it. All I was told at first was that it would involve some physical pain, but that Professor Chakova believed it could really help me." Like other patients, Natasha is given psychological counseling before each session of 60 lashes. Those with alcohol or other addictions face 30, and also undergoes an electrocardiogram to ensure that the shock therapy is not causing unexpected heart problems. "I was so scared before the first time, and I'm still frightened many months later," she says. "I'm not a masochist. My parents never beat me or even slapped me, so this was my first real physical pain, and it was truly shocking. If people think there's anything sexual about it, then it's nonsense. With each lash, I scream and grip tight to the end of the surgical table. It's a stinging pain, real agony, and my whole body jolts. Often I cry, and the doctor sometimes asks what I'm feeling and if I'm okay. My body gets really hot and my palms start sweating. It's really unpleasant. But after each session, I can see that it works. In fact, it's the only thing that has worked for me. As he strikes me, the doctor explains the danger of the drugs. But this treatment is not about punishing me for taking heroin. It works because of the effect on my body, the release of these endorphins that is letting me get rid of the addiction. The pain helps me understand the dangers I have caused to myself, how I was simply killing myself. The doctors echo what she says and insist that they are not seeking to humiliate Natasha and their other patients, nor is punishment their primary aim. Quote, continues, "Despite this, in a strange way, I suppose I do feel I'm getting punishment, which at the same time brings me back to life." But she's not. I have to interject here. It's not punishment at all, because our Lord Jesus Christ was not punished. He was a love offering from God. And only deep pain could reach. And this is a fantastic thing to me. And I mentioned this yesterday. It's astounding to me that we think that the whole crucifixion of Christ, I mean, we know it was physical, and we know the beating was physical, but we just look at it in spiritual terms. We don't understand the link between the physical and the spiritual. We think that there can't be a link between the physical and the spiritual. I mean, you have to ask yourself, why couldn't Christ just say, "I'm going to die for the sins of humanity," or even, "I'm willing to die for the sins of humanity"? No, but that wasn't enough. It's not enough to say you're going to. It's not enough to make it theoretical. There had to be a physical involvement. And we're suffering the same thing. for some reason, we have to go through physical experiences, physical pain, physical misery, in order to fully experience the spiritual life, which also will be physical. People think the spiritual life is just some ethereal life with no foundation in physicality, but it's not that. We're going to have human bodies. We're going to have bodies. We're given new bodies. Our soulish bodies are exchanged for spiritual bodies. So this very much involves the corporeal being. And so, likewise, the corporeal being is involved in the salvation of the world. That is, the pain endured by the body of Jesus Christ, as physical as can be. It's absolutely necessary. This is why the physical can't be written off. As the, what's that group of people that anything physical is evil, they say. I always have a mental block. I can't remember what those idiots are named, but that's okay. I'll put it down here when I think of it. They think nature is evil. Anything physical is evil. Only the spiritual, only the spiritual. No, the physical and the spiritual are connected. I'm not talking about soulishness. I'm talking about physicality. And it's astounding to me, really, the link between the physical and the spiritual. And we see it more than ever in the beating of Jesus Christ. It couldn't be theoretical. It had to be lived out. The pain had to be real and experienced, and it was. So, whether this woman thinks she was being punished or not, she wasn't. It's not that. This does something deep within the psyche. This pain inflicted does something by loving people. Does something. And God was loving Christ. It pleased God to bruise him. Well, how could Isaiah possibly say that? Because the bruising, the welts brought healing. And we're seeing an example of it right here. This is the same thing. Except instead of beating one person to cure their personal issues because the pain reaches deep and rearranges the insides. Where do you see this verse tomorrow from Proverbs? It rearranges the insides somehow. It adjusts things like a magnet on magnetic filings. You know, you put a magnet over the filings and they align. They snap too. We live life so easy sometimes, and we don't want discomfort, we don't want pain, but sometimes only pain can bring the necessary change. Just like a humiliation or an accident or something terrible happens to a person, and they suddenly snap out of it, and they realize that life is worth living after all. They've been living mediocre lives, but then something dramatic happens, something shocking happens, and it takes that to wake people up. Well, this is the most primitive form of that. It takes this physical pain, and it's not little light pain. Let me make an analogy here before I go on in this article. I see I'm going to have to do a two-part thing on this article because there's another witness here besides Natasha. This man is writing about this. The same thing happened with him, and it's amazing. But I think of deep tissue massage. You know, the last thing you want when your muscles are really hurting and somebody says, oh, I'll give you a massage, and they do this, you know, they just kind of do this, and it doesn't reach you. And you have to tell them, no, I want you to really push, and it's like you push, and it hurts. But that's the only way to unwind certain muscles. You have to hurt it. You have to physically cause it pain. But if you get deep tissue massage, and these people know how to do it, the massage therapist, they go in there just like they reach something that must be reached, can only be reached by deep pressure, even pain. But afterwards, my God, after a deep tissue massage, just like your body is so unwound and relaxed and everything's loose and the muscles are breathing again because there's constrictions inside of you. There's blockages in the electrical circuits, and only that pressure in the right place, the right force can reach it. This is about reaching something deep. And obviously there's a deep problem within the human race. And it could only be reached. It was so deep that it could only be reached by deep welts, by incredible pain, by hard, horrible whips to our Lord Jesus Christ, who became the representative sacrifice. And it was this pain that delivered the entire human race. By his welts, we are healed. It's incredible. But we're seeing it here. By welts, these people were healed. And these doctors think they just think they discovered something great, like, oh, we're pioneers. Well, in a way, they are pioneers. But I have no doubt that this treatment was used in the past. In fact, God prescribed 39 lashes to people in Israel for their reform. For their reform, a prescribed amount of strokes was administered. Not too many, not too little. Why? 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 Because it worked. It rearranged something inside that nothing else could. We're going to send you to the corner. Does that work? No. Well, you're going to miss supper tonight. Does that work? No. It's a joke. Well, have you ever seen parents? I'm going to talk about parents disciplining children tomorrow after I give you the verse from Proverbs. I see these parents all the time. They think they're spanking their children. Do, 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 do. They give them these little pats. The kid does, it's a joke. It laughs. The kid laughs. It doesn't work. It's a joke. It's abuse to not discipline your kids. And it would be abuse for Peter to have rescued Christ from the beating he took. It's abuse. What are you trying to do? Rob the human race of healing? This must happen. I'm sorry. It's horrible, but it happens. It has to happen. And like I said yesterday, we all try to live lives void of all pain. We don't want discomfort. We don't want anything. And yet, the best, the most profound changes in your life come from profound trials, profound exertions, running a marathon. I've run 5 marathons. Oh, man, you've never, sitting down never felt better than after you run a marathon. That's a microcosmic view, too, of life. After a day of misery and frustration, there's nothing like just laying down in bed. It's like, oh, frick. But why does it feel good? You know, because the stress of the day, it's important. That stress is important. You cannot live a stress-free life. It would be stupid to try. It's not beneficial for you. The saying is true, I'm sorry to say. No pain, no gain. It's true. So, Natasha says, again, despite this, in a strange way, I suppose I do feel I'm getting punishment, which at the same time brings me back to life. It's not that, no, you're not being punished. It's the depth of the pain that brings you back to life. It's the rearrangement of your innards that need reached by something profoundly shocking. After each session, I have red lash marks on my backside. Yeah, no kidding, but it doesn't bleed. It's not easy to sit down for a few hours afterwards. Unlikely as it sounds, this is the article again, Natasha is adamant that this treatment has transformed her life. Quote, I wouldn't keep coming back for this if I didn't think it was working, she says. I know many of my friends think I'm mad to trust these doctors, but I want to live. For the first time since I became an addict 5 years ago, I feel I have a chance. I just want to be like all those thousands of girls who have a normal life, finding a man, getting married, having kids, going through the problems of life together. I want that kind of normal life. And finally, I can feel I'm coming back to it. The article continues. Several months into her treatment, she got a new job and, against expectations, was holding it down, working as a dispatcher in a local taxi company, she says. It's a simple job, but for me, it is a start. I feel I have my self-respect. So far, I don't have a new boyfriend, but when the right man comes along, this is a good-looking girl. You've seen, I've shown you the pictures. But when the right man comes along, I now feel I could cope with a relationship again. Natasha is now, listen to this. Listen to this. Natasha is now free of the drugs. Quote, I still have cravings, of course I do, but it's getting less and less. I really feel on the way to a new life. I'm going to read one more paragraph from this article and I'm going to close for today. But I'm going to bring you another testimony. I thought I was going to bring it today, but you can see where the time is. I'm still going to bring you the verse tomorrow. It'll be perfect. I'm going to give you another testimony tomorrow from a man named Yuri, and then I'll give you the verse, and then I'm going to apply it to you practically. I'm going to tell you what you can do. I'm going to tell you how to bless your children and how to fix your own problems. In a sample of 30 patients given the treatment who are now being closely monitored, most have shown strongly positive results in overcoming their various addictions, the doctors claim. Yet critics suggest a far more rigorous analysis subject to academic scrutiny would be needed to verify the claims of its proponents. Ah, you stupid, overeducated, egg-headed nincompoops. Let it go. No, you can't leave something alone that works. You can't leave something alone that's cheap and readily available and doesn't call on the medical community to put you through their tests, put you through their sick operations. They would probably operate on this girl's brain or give her drugs for this girl. More drugs will help her. Let's operate on her brain. Let's mess with her medulla oblongata. Let's put needles in there and let's put her on drug after drug after drug. And yet, no. The simple, primitive truth, and this is a truth. The verse from Proverbs is going to give it to you. It explains this. It also explains the work of our Lord and why that beating had to happen. For Natasha, the necessary pain reached in her deep enough to finally rearrange things that have been out of place for so long, discordant inside. Something needed done, but nothing could reach it, like deep tissue massage, only touching that right muscle and stressing it and breaking it apart brings the flow back to the body. Likewise, this discipline, this pain, this beating brings the flow back because nothing is sufficient enough to reach to those depths. Leave it to the doctors. We need more study on this. It's so unorthodox. Yeah. Why is the last thing people try, the last resort, after they've tried all the mainstream medicine, they find out none of it works. It just brings them more pain, more agony, more expense. It doesn't get down there. Oh, the simplest things, the most primitive things come from God are the things that always work. If only we could learn to do those things first instead of last. Just like the religious world, folks, we all tried to find God in the church. The last thing we tried is, well, we're just going to go out on our own. And there he is. There's Jesus Christ outside the camp doing the unorthodox thing, taking us to new places like water, like discipline, like fresh air, like exercise, like Jesus Christ walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee. All so simple and all so readily available.